praying till the answer comes. Man, that is a good song, isn't it? It is a great song. Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing? Boy, it's just so good to be in God's house this morning and just to be able to... I wish y'all could be up here and look out and see all the smiling faces. Because I tell you, it is uplifting for me to be able to look out there and see you. I just wish you could be. But don't do it. Y'all stay out there, okay? You get kind of crowded up here if everybody came. Everybody, let's turn to in our Bibles to Philippians 4, 10 through 13. Not 13, but 13. Get my tongue to work this morning. Philippians 4, 10 through 13. God's Word says, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. I just pray that it would come alive in our hearts, that it would be something that we could call on, Lord, when trouble comes. When things happen, when things start falling apart, Lord, we can have your word to fall back on, Lord, and your promise. We just thank you for your many blessings and all that are here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, Paul is talking here. He has figured out something that a lot of us have missed. He knew how to be content in any situation, any circumstance. It didn't make any difference. He had learned it. You know, that's a bold statement to make. That's a big statement. No matter what happens around you, to be content. Whew. Especially when you realize that Paul is in prison. He's in jail right as he's writing this letter. He says, "I have learned the secret." You know, when you look at the word learned, that means that it came over a period of time. It was a process that he had to go through. It didn't automatically come to him. So that means there's hope for all of us. Paul found out that real contentment doesn't have anything to do with his circumstances. Think of it this way. When we become discontented, when things go wrong and we don't properly act the right way, two things happen. One is we lose our peace. The second, we lose our joy. But if that's true, something's not right, because the Bible teaches that peace and joy are fruits of the Spirit. Huh. Which is given by the Holy Spirit. So if we can lose our peace and joy when things start going bad, when things start falling apart in our life, then the peace and joy we're experiencing are not fruits of the Spirit. But they're the fruits of good circumstances. Think about that a minute. Not fruits of the Spirit that are given by the Holy Spirit, but they're just fruits of, because everything's going good. That's what's going good for us. But Paul's contentment came from inside him. It was given to him by the Holy Spirit. You know, God said that He'll meet all our needs. But I haven't been able to find it in the Bible where it says He'll meet all our wants. I wish that was true, because I want a lot of stuff, seems like. So ask yourself this question: is God meeting my needs, all of my needs? If He is, then you need to stop and thank Him for what He's doing in your life. The secret of true contentment is figuring out what your needs are and what your wants are. Don't get them confused. That's what happens to me all the dadgum time. I mix up what I really need in life with what I want. And believe me, my want list is a whole lot longer than my need list. Of course, y'all don't have this problem, I know. I'm just talking to the band here. You're all so godly, and you never have this problem. So just listen to me as I vent, okay? I'm just venting this morning. You know, we need to thank God for meeting our needs, even though He's not meeting our wants. One of the things that Paul realized is that being satisfied has to do with trusting God. We need to trust God even when things are going wrong around us, and when it seems like things are out of control in our lives. How many of you have control of your life? Raise your hand. If you've got control over what happens in your life, raise your hand. I want to find out how you're doing it. We don't have control over anything, do we? We think we do. We think we've got control of our money. We think we've got control of our job. We think we've got control of our wife. The wife thinks she's got control of her husband. You know, what do you really control? You're really not controlling anything. Control is something that God has. And Paul trusted God completely. That's where his contentment came from. That's why he was satisfied. So when things started falling apart with him, like getting arrested and thrown in jail, what did he do? He didn't fall apart, because his outside circumstances had nothing to do with the joy and the peace that he had in his life. That came from inside him. He was happy. How many people would be sitting in jail this morning? How many, if you were sitting in jail, that you would actually be happy? Boy, I can't say I'd be happy if I was sitting in jail this morning. I'd probably be preaching to a bunch of drunks and all kinds of folks. Just think about it. So this morning, are you content with what you have and what's going on in your life? You know, this is one of the things that I deal with this. I know y'all don't, but have you ever noticed that how discontented you become with your old truck when someone pulls up? They just bought this brand new top of the line truck, double cab, 1-ton dually four-wheel drive, the biggest engine. I mean, this thing just sparkles, and it pulls up next to your old truck. How quick do you get dissatisfied? Boy, I do. I go, man, you know, what's that guy doing? Oh, man, he must really been doing good. God's just blessing him. And here I am, I'm driving an old truck. Why? I know you never ask that. Or how your house, you love your house, and then all of a sudden some folks in the church, they build a big, beautiful, brand new home with all the, everything that you can have in it. The kitchen looks unbelievable. You know, big, giant rock fireplace. And, you just start drooling, you know. Your house, all of a sudden, your house just stinks, really. Let's be honest. You go home, you go, you smell that? That's the smell of discontentment. My house just isn't good enough anymore. I'm not even going to talk about when you go buying clothes or anything of that nature. Discontentment causes us to make a lot of foolish decisions as Christians, don't it? We see things that we want because we desire them, and we go and we spend money we don't have just to get it, to keep up with that dude with that new truck. You could say keep up with the Joneses or whoever. You just want to fit and feel like, oh man, God's blessing me too. So we go out and we spend money we don't even have. We get ourselves in debt a lot of times, trying to keep up and try to satisfy it. If that was true, just think about everybody would be in debt and everybody would be happy and everybody would have peace and everybody would have joy. But it doesn't come from there. Contentment and joy comes from the Holy Spirit. You know, all my life I've struggled with this one thing, being satisfied. I had to ask myself, man, how much is enough? You're always wanting a better horse. I mean, you got a horse that is probably 10 times better than the other guy's got, but yet you go out and you see someone else ride up with this new, slick, shining, muscled up. That horse just ripples when he's breathing. You're going, oh, there goes that drooling. You're wanting what they got. Or that new saddle. Oh, did you see that saddle that dude was riding? Oh, man. My old saddle. It's just, I guess I need to oil it. It's dull. It just don't look good no more. It's been rode hard and put up with, just like my horse, too many times. Haven't taken care of it. We get dissatisfied. We get discouraged. If we could just learn one thing, if we would focus on Christ, we could do all things through Him and through His strength. We could be content and realize that He is the one that's in control of our lives, not us. You know, it's okay to have ambition and to want to make more money. It's okay to want to have a nice house. It's okay to have a nice truck. Good horses, good cattle. It's good to have ambition. But as long as what we have, we use to glorify Christ. What do you have that you're using to glorify yourself? That's what the Lord was asking me. Where does your happiness come from, Lynn? Does it come from things, or does it come from me? Where is your peace and joy coming from? Is it from owning all this stuff and having that new truck that Billy Bob's driving, or that new house that they just built? Where is your joy and peace coming from? Hard answers, hard questions. True happiness and contentment comes when we've totally sold out to Christ. The good thing about this is God really does want to give you the desires of your heart. The Scriptures say that He wants to give you the desires of your heart. He wants you to be happy. So what does your heart desire? That's the real question this morning. What does your heart desire? Because in that one question alone is the secret of how to be satisfied. What do you desire this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord, just thanking you for your blessings. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the things that you do for us, how you take care of us and meet our needs. And Father, you even meet some of our wants. We forget to thank you, Lord. We forget to tell you that we love you and that we care about you. And we want what you want for our lives, Lord. We want the best that you have to give us. I pray, Lord, that our desires, the desires of our heart, would line up with what you want for us, Lord. That we would not get mixed up with what we really need in life, mixed up with what we want to keep up with the Joneses. I just thank you for the blessings you do give us, the blessings that you freely give, even when we don't ask for it, Lord, you bless us. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. It's a hard message to preach when you're preaching to yourself. I'm telling you, this week was a hard week for me. I had to talk with my elder several times this week, talking about things that was happening in my life, things that was going on in other churches and things that friends of mine. And when I got down and started praying, God said, "Where does your contentment come from? Why are you not satisfied? When things start going wrong, who are you going to turn to?" That's what God revealed to me this week. I want to thank all y'all for being here this morning. Like I said, it's just so good to see you. If you're visiting here with us this morning, we've got a green sheet back there for you to fill out. If you're looking for a church home, we sure would like to have you. We just love to have you, and we just want to thank you for being here this morning. And did anybody think about any more prayer requests while the service, after we got through doing the prayer request? Did we get everybody prayed for that actually had a prayer request? Your nephew, anybody else, your mother. Your grandson. Let's just take just a short minute and thank Lord for his blessings and also pray for these. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your many blessings. We have more prayer requests to lift up to you this morning, Lord. We don't want to leave anyone out, that everyone would be able to be heard this morning. So we all know what we need to pray for this week in lifting each individual ones up, Lord. You know who they are. I just thank you again for your many blessings. I just pray for healing. I pray for comfort. I pray for joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bring the kids down.